Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When you were addressing the fans, you were a little fired up there. Had a little football coach in you. Do nights like this get you?
It does. It's exciting to me. It really is. I mean, I really do appreciate the fans that came out tonight, and really appreciate their support and bringing the electricity. There's something exciting about being in your home stadium, and I really just I enjoy it.
Head coach Ron Rivera, welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. He was discussing Saturday's practice at FedEx Field in front of thousands of fans who came out to check out the team for the first time this summer. I mean, they have had select groups of people that have gone out to Ashburn. It's gotten harder to get out there now to watch practice as a fan than it used to be. But this was the first big chance for fans for free to go to the stadium and to watch. And Saturday, a lot of autographs, a lot of pictures. I saw a lot of young fans spending time with players, which I really, really like. Pete Haley, NBCSportsWashington.com, joins us now. Pete, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Afternoon, Grant, and I don't know if your back-scratching situation was solved, but in case you still need a back scratch, I'm only about 10 minutes away. I can come on down and help you out at the end of the show.
I had to do a polar bear bit. I had to rub my back against like the inside of a door, like I'm some kind
like
of animal in a cave.
Book. Yeah, that's really crappy. I'm sorry your coworkers don't love you and care about you enough as they should. That's really disappointing to see. But you find out who your friends are when your back is a little itchy.
This is true. And maybe I'm weird. It's very possible. In fact, I probably am. But maybe this is more confirmation of that. But there's not a person that I work with at this facility in any department that if they said to me, hey, would you mind scratching my back real quick, I wouldn't just offer them these here fingers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, the phrase literally is, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And I know it's mostly used for metaphorical reasons or other situations, but you could have said, hey, Ryan, if you have an itchy back, I'll itch yours at some point. And when they have itches in the future, you just turn them down. It's no problem.
Both Ryan and Darius looked at each other like, who's going to have to do this? They both giggled like they're, you know, school children, and then they just proceeded to tell me they couldn't do it. So, yeah. So I just did a polar bear bit and just dragged my back along the wall, cut it open. I hope they're okay with it. All right, so to Saturday night. I didn't care much about turnout. I know a lot of people talked about that. I'm curious, like, how many people do you think were there? Were the folks that were there energized? What was your take on that?
I think it was a very successful outing for the team as they tried to build up this fan base again and get them used to the new branding. I saw plenty of people in Commanders jerseys already and lots more in the various team stores. I did a lap around FedEx Field before going up into the press box. There's tons of new signage everywhere. So it felt like, okay, this transition from football team to Commanders is well underway, if not nearly complete. And in terms of numbers, I've never been good at predicting or projecting or saying how many people are there without an exact count, but it was upwards of 5,000 to 6,000. I think the lower bowl was nicely covered to a good extent. And then the middle bowl behind the Commander's bench normally had some big sections filled up too. So overall, I thought it was a really nice job by the team, and there's lots of cool activities for younger kids to do. There's face painting and a dog adoption drive. So for a Saturday in August, I thought this was a nice victory for those who put it on.
I saw a bunch of folks talking about how long Chase Young was signing autographs. It sounds like maybe he stayed out on the field and just kind of went the length of the sideline, basically.
Yes. Yeah, Chase, we talked to Ron, we talked to Terry, and we talked to Carson after the practice. Each presser probably took about 8 to 10 minutes. And then Mitch Tischler and I sat down to record our podcast. And I opened up Twitter, and apparently Chase was still out there signing autographs. So that was at least 40, 45 minutes afterward. And he's been that way at camp too. And I've been really, you know, pleasantly surprised by that. It would be easy for him as someone who's rehabbing and maybe didn't have a very good season last year to just be escorted upstairs by PR, both at the stadium and at the facility every day. But he has lingered and taken plenty of pictures, signed plenty of football. Same with Terry, same with Carson, same with all the in-demand players. And it was nice to see. So I think Chase is still embracing the fan love, and I hope that when he gets on the field, whenever that is, he can then justify all that fan love with a nice bounce back year.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, and that stuff matters to me. I mean, it's not going to help you get sacks, right? But your job is not just what you do on the field. There are other obligations, and right now, there's only so much you can do. I mean, you can't go out and get sacks when you're rehabbing, and you might miss a few games, so you might as well help what is another project here, which is, as you said, to kind of rebuild this fan base and to build up this new brand. So that's cool that he's taking that personally, and he's one of the most important players in the locker room, obviously. Pete Haley, NBCSportsWashington.com. All right, so let's talk Carson Wentz. I started the show today on Wentz because I keep hearing more and more from you guys that are out there about how uneasy he's looked, and now we've got Ron Rivera being asked about his accuracy and what he's missing. It just doesn't sound good from afar.
It doesn't sound good from afar, and it doesn't look very good up close either. And I'm trying to balance the, like, we're still 5 weeks away from the season. People are just starving for updates about this team. Let's not feed the beast too much and let everybody get completely crazy and run into the streets with no clothes on because they just don't know how to react. However, it's a little bit worse than I expected. I mean, Carson coming here as a 63% completion percentage passer and a guy who's been let go by his two previous teams, you're not expecting him to look like Patrick Mahomes and dot this defense up and go 9 of 10 every time he's in the lineup, right? Like, you knew there are going to be flaws or else he wouldn't be here in the first place. But the flaws are a little uglier so far than I expect them to be.
Let me jump in real quick, Pete. When you say that, I'm just curious, like, to maybe qualify that better. Like, is when he's throwing against air, is he have bad ball placement? Is this 11 on 11 where he's, like, missing open guys? What are the issues that you're seeing, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's everything, and it's in the on-air drills that are beginning of practice where typically it's like, all right, the guys run a quick comeback, then they run a 5 yard out, then they run a slant, and then they work the intermediate stuff. So they run a 12 yard out and a 12 yard in, and then they do some posts and stuff. And there, Carson is not nearly as efficient as he should be. Like Heineke and Howell, for the most part, the ball is where the receivers need it. Maybe it's a little outstretched, maybe they have to reach a little bit behind, but they're mostly catching the ball. And if there's not a catch, it's the receiver's fault. With Carson, it's not a coin flip, but there are times where it's like you have no idea whether this ball is going to land in Cam Sims's breadbasket, go way over Cam Sims's hands, or hit Cam Sims in the shoelaces. And it continues into the team stuff. So for me, we were talking about this on the podcast today. For us, like, I don't know if I'm as worried about the on-air stuff, even though that sounds weird. Like, if you can't complete a pass on air, I get it. Then how the hell are you going to do it against the defense on Sunday? But, like, it's almost just like maybe that's just not his forum. Like, it's so unsettling to watch him that I just have to be like, okay, this just doesn't work for him. He's not a warm-ups player. Hopefully it's better when the games start. But, you know, then the 11-on-11s happen, and it's not really clicking that much either. Now, on Saturday night, there were some highlights. He had an unbelievably awesome deep shot to Mark and Michelle. He found McLaurin on a pretty back shoulder that the team has put up on Instagram and Twitter. You can go find it. So those were finally some of the good mixed in with the bad. But yeah, Grant, I have deducted one win from my projected win total this year, going from 10 to 9, because the Carson Wentz bad has far outweighed the good thus far, and I'm a little bit rattled about it.
Is Mark and Michelle related to Marco Mitchell? And regardless of the answer, is Chris Russell in love with Mark and Michelle yet?
Mark and Michelle is related to Sony Michelle. I don't think he has any relation to Marco Mitchell.
Okay.
But Chris Russell is in love with him more so than like a traffic-free commute home, and it's getting awkward for the rest of us on the beat.
Understood. He's Pete Haley, NBC Sports Washington, and you should read all of his work at NBCSportsWashington.com. So then back to Wentz for a second. So Yeah, because my original thought when I've seen a lot of this, Pete, is it's not to act like I have low expectations, but I do think accuracy for him is problematic, or is it just never going to be a strength? So I kind of stopped short of being concerned, but it sounds like you're not someone who was expecting like all-world accuracy, and even based on the standards of you baking that into your eval, you've been a little bit taken aback.
Yeah, again, it's just worse than I thought, and I was very aware of what all the Eagles reporters, I mean, everybody's had an Eagles reporter on their show or podcast. Everybody's had a Colts reporter on their show or podcast. So you're prepared for this to be a bumpy road, but the bumps are a little bit higher and they're a little bit more frequent than I would have liked them to be. And look, he didn't have Terry for OTAs and minicamp. Those two both have spoken on how they need to get their reps down. They might try to do some things during practice, during some dead periods, to continue to hone their relationship. I'd imagine it's hard to get on the same page with Curtis Samuel when you don't know if he's going to be wearing a helmet from one day to the next. So the one guy he does seem to really be in lockstep with is Jahan Dotson, who he loved during May and June activities and has certainly brought that into July and August. And when he's throwing with Dotson, that's when it's the smoothest. That's when the timing is the best. That's when the ball is there. As soon as he turns around and gives him plenty enough room to turn up field. So they're like, if he gets to that level with the other guys, then you can see that there's a blueprint for a successful quarterback receiver relationship. But the majority of guys, it still is just rusty, and there's just some really ugly misses. And what worries me is, like, again, the on-air stuff doesn't affect the on-field, you know, results come week one. But if you're a receiver turning around enough and you don't know where the ball is coming, that's got to just be discouraging. You're like, I'm doing this against nobody and you're not hitting me. How am I going to trust you to then do this against the Jaguars? So I just hope that there isn't too much doubt already seeping into this unit's head, because some of these reps, Grant, are so disappointing that it's just like, how do they then line up and do another one in 5 seconds without like everybody just processing the ugliness that just occurred?
How about the other QBs? I mean, is he still, this all being said, like decidedly the best of the three? Because he obviously spins the ball probably better, certainly than Heinicke, can throw the deep ball better. I mean, if you were to just meritocracy style, there was no starter, there was no backup, there's no number three, you don't care who got drafted or paid what. Is he the best of the three day in and day out, obviously?
Yeah, I'd still say he is the best of the three, and maybe it's just because he's bigger and can throw it harder. I think, you know, Sam Howell's definitely pleasantly surprised me. He's coming along decently, and what's important for him is he started off pretty poorly as a fifth-round rookie normally would, but I think he's putting good practices on top of each other, and he's makes a mistake one day, and then the next day, okay, that throw is now where it should be. He seems a little more confident with each day. And Taylor Heinicke, look, I mean, we know the limitations, but for some reason, and I know the reasons. He competes his ass off, and he's fun to be around, and he does what he can to make anything happen. These guys love playing with him, and you see that in camp, but that when he needs to go deep, he just can't do it. So Wentz is definitely still the best. I still think Ron should give Wentz an incredibly long leash, because this is the only guy who could really hopefully possibly elevate the team. The other two are going to either just keep it afloat or be something of a long-term project. So Wentz needs to be the starter. He needs to be the starter for a long time. You give him every chance to hit the ground running, and if it doesn't start at the beginning, to hit the ground running in October. But he is not so much better that it's like, okay, phew, this is exactly it. Like, it's just been closer all throughout than he'd like it to be.
I saw that you asked Rivera about the plan for Curtis Samuel over the weekend again, and I think even today maybe. Last year they needed him. It was not a want, it was a need. They lacked weaponry at wide receiver. With Jahan Dotson, who can play inside, which I think is where he's going to end up making most of his plays in the slot, or outside, I mean, they don't necessarily have to have Samuel the same way they did last year, but man, would it be nice to get him back into the fold. Do you think he's going to play in week one? Do you think he'll be healthy based on this plan they've got him on for the rest of the season beyond that? And then just give me a take on the receiver room.
I do think he'll be there for week one. Number one, because they're building up for it like it's the premiere of like a blockbuster movie, and it would be really awful of them to do that and then not have it work out. Like, they're going to be careful. They're going to lay their reputations on the line. He will be there week one, because like it feels like when they need to, like on Saturday night at FedEx Field, That was an important night just to show fans that he was alive and could run routes. They did it. So I think he can play when they need him to once or twice, but we still yet to see three practices in a row. Ron said they're going to chill him out tomorrow, so that's going to end the chance of it being three straight. So week one, yes. Week two through 18, I honestly have no idea because we haven't even seen him get tackled yet, and it's been a struggle for him to consistently stay in the lineup. For the room as a whole, I would still argue they need him because, yes, Dotson looks like a consummate professional, and he is Wentz's favorite receiver at this point in terms of at least comfortability. But, like, I haven't seen a ton from De'Ami Brown to think that he's going to break out in year two. I like Cam Sims, but I know what his limitations are, and I don't think he could be anything more than a two- or three-catch-a guy, a game guy. So Samuel has to be there because he can take the 5 yard out and turn it up for 30 yards. Like, he's made a couple cuts that are really impressive. So while it may not be because, you know, they're missing the top end guys, by having Dotson, you have another reliable target. The guys below Samuel, I still feel, are not ready for the NFL. And if you're missing Logan Thomas to start too, then you're running out of reliable pass catchers, I think.
All right. Last one for you here. I want to swing over to the defensive side. It seemed like for months Rivera said that they were going to sign a linebacker. And he just made it very clear this is not the group we're going into the season with. And yay, they did. 27-year-old veteran Nate Jerry, who's played a bunch of special teams and a little bit for the Eagles on defense. Is this the one he was talking about? Is this my linebacker? Is this it?
Yeah. Congratulations, everybody. Apparently today I heard from another reporter who was watching, Nate Jerry ran off the field and somebody yelled, "Cole Holcomb, I love you. Can you sign my helmet?" And Nate Jerry's like, "Sorry, wrong white dude." So the fans may not be embracing him as much as maybe you and I are. But look, this does really nothing for me. They like him because he can be a coverage guy. They feel like they have enough stoutness with Cole Holcomb and David Mayo. I would probably disagree, but that's what Ron said. They want some more people who can help in space and on special teams. So I would think he probably has a good chance of making this team, along with like a Kalik Hudson. Those guys can be your fourth and fifth linebacker, but it in no way changes my opinion of that group because Jamin Davis is the one real swing guy who can make this a better collection of players. But I haven't liked what I've seen out of Jamin Davis. So Nate Jerry, if he plays six snaps a game on defense and helps out on special teams, great. But it's not going to be enough to dramatically impact this defense. So I just don't know how they can get any better, unfortunately. They put themselves in a spot where Nate Jerry represents their best possible addition. So buckle up for the linebackers. You need to hope that Fedarian Mathis is a really powerful run stopper and that guys like Percy Butler and Derek Forrest can play that Landon Collins type role and help out as quasi linebackers instead of the traditional linebackers having a traditional influence on the season.
Yeah, at front, the D-line, and then on the back end, the secondary becomes that much more important, which I want to get into here in a bit. Hey, Pete, great information. Really appreciate the latest from camp. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
NBCSportsWashington.com. Go read his work. Check out all of his insight from practices. I want to talk about the addition of Nate Jerry and also the linebacking group now led by Holcomb and Jamin Davis. And is there a chance maybe that collection of guys in the middle gets bailed out by the secondary improving by a bunch? And we'll tackle that next on Grant and Danny before the end of the hour. We will spin the NFL wheel and break down a random team's burning question right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What do you feel like the biggest growth for Jamin has been just in this camp?
I think the biggest thing is just learning. You know, it's hard when you're used to playing a specific way, a certain way, and then you come in and now it's completely a whole new ball game. It really, truly is. It's a different type of learning. It's a different type of playing. This game is vastly different from the college game. And, you know, with him, it was just a matter of getting opportunities and picking it up. And, you know, he continues to get reps and continues to do well. I mean, we're pleased with where he is, and we're excited to see him play on Saturday.
Ron Rivera on Jamin Davis. Man, do the Commanders need him to have a breakthrough this season at linebacker, as thin as they are at that position. I want to get into the linebackers in just a second. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan all over D.C. on 106.7 and in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Take us with you coast to coast on the Odyssey app. How about this breaking news? This is pretty huge here, I would say. And I did not see this coming. Alabama topped the preseason USA Today coaches poll in college football. So, whoa! Alabama bounced back from Nick Saban and his boys. I loved when I saw a quote from him the other day where Nick Saban said last year was a rebuilding year. He was dead serious, by the way. They lost in the national championship game after winning the SEC title. And I don't know what the question was, but somebody asked him about losing in the national title game. And he referenced last season as a rebuilding year for Alabama.
Roll Tide!
Number one, Phyllis. Preseason USA Today coaches poll, followed by Ohio State and Georgia. I think you don't have to watch college football for the last 3 years, and you could have correctly picked the top three teams. I used to do a bit with Danny years ago where I never paid attention to like women's college basketball or college basketball on the men's side either, for that matter, up until the tournament. But we would get to the women's tournament, and I would pick like the top seeds. I'm like, it's got to be Baylor and UConn and Tennessee. It's like the same thing. And yet, I think college football on the men's side is probably more easy to do that with at this point. It's just so predictable.
All right, I haven't seen it yet. How many do you have? You have the top 25?
Let me see here. I could probably pull it. I've got the top 8.
All right. Let me get some guesses here.
No, you know what? I can go 10 deep. I got my bell right here.
Okay. All right, so we already got Alabama, of course.
Yeah, number one.
Georgia.
Number 3, I think, somehow.
Okay. Ohio State.
Number 2.
Michigan.
Michigan's in the top 10.
Michigan State.
They're number 5. Michigan State, no.
No. Let's go Texas A&M.
In the top 10. Mm-hmm. They are 7.
What else we got? Auburn sucks, right? How about...
You're sleeping on an ACC team that every single year is in the national title mix.
Down Clemson, of course. Any Pac-12 teams in there, or Pac-10, or whatever number they
are?
Does
that conference exist anymore?
I don't even know.
I don't think it does.
That could be a Pac-15.
There is one school from out west in the conference. I guess as of right now, it's still.
How about Oklahoma?
Oklahoma is in the mix.
Okay. What do we got? Is that seven teams there?
You're missing a Pac-12. You're missing a team out west. You're missing a Big 12 team. And you're missing an independent.
Notre Dame. USC? No way USC is ranked that high yet. It's not Stanford.
I think Alex Smith and Urban Meyer.
Ah, Utes. The old Utes. And then, darn it, what was the other one? You said another SEC team?
Big 12.
Big 12? Ah.
The house that Robert Griffin built.
What? Baylor's that good?
Apparently.
Wow.
Baylor. Well. So there's your surprise. But you just kind of ran through the exercise. So it is Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, 1, 2, 3. Clemson is 4. Notre Dame, 5. Michigan, 6. A&M, 7. Can't wait for Texas A&M and Alabama to play, although... Unfortunately, it sounds like Saban has quelched his little back and forth. Then you got Utah, Oklahoma, and Baylor in the top 10. There's very little guesswork, and it's only going to get worse, I think, in the years to come with player movement now, transfer portal the way it is. It's the wild, wild west, and there's no real regulation. And so it's just going to be about teams throwing money by way of these deals through companies that align with the schools. But it won't stop me from watching. We're only a couple weekends away from some real good college football on Saturdays. In fact, I saw that yesterday was the last Sunday this calendar year where we won't have college or pro football. Because you start to have NFL preseason games. I believe college football kicks off in the August 27th, something like that. And then the National Football League shortly thereafter, about a month from now. Weekend games. So we made it. We got through. All right, let's talk about the Commanders linebacker room. So Ron Rivera was asked probably 1,000 times about his linebackers because he has very publicly stated going back to last year that it was in need. And then they just elected not to address it. I think anyone who's plugged in on this team, you don't have to be a media member, just a fan who watched them a bunch. You guys listening to talk radio who watch this team, fans, you know that their linebacking core last year was a weakness, right? They said, going into the offseason, we've got to get a middle linebacker. That was their goal. Then a couple weeks into free agency, they just kind of came out and said, actually, we're going to move Cole Holcomb to middle linebacker. So what we have now is a linebacking core for the Commanders where Holcomb's going to play the mic and where Jamin Davis, you would think, would be off the ball, roaming, using his speed, making plays in the backfield, trying to make an impact. Except that at camp, he is giving up first-team reps occasionally to David Mayo, who's just kind of a journeyman jag type who's a special teamer who can occasionally play some defense, and that's not a bad thing. I like David Mayo, just like I like Jamin Davis and Cole Holcomb because they can go out there and occasionally make a football play. But the question is, do you want Cole Holcomb to be your best linebacker? Do you want Jamin Davis, after last season, to come into the year being the unquestioned number one off-the-ball linebacker? Should you push him a little bit? They haven't done that. And it seems like a problem that in practice he's not getting all of the first-team reps still. But I digress. And Rivera said, listen, we're going to add someone. Don't worry. Guys get cut. Training camp, preseason, time's coming. We're going to add a linebacker. And so we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's like your parents telling you, we're going to get a car. We're going to get a car. Don't worry. And you're like, Mom, please. You guys need a new car. This old van is rusted and terrible. I hate riding in it. And they're like, no, we're going to get a car. We're going to get a car. We're going to get a car. And then they go to this car dealership and they bring home like this used car that isn't that exciting. Is this the car we were waiting for? Did you just get another car in the meantime? And the other car is still coming. Because if you would have just added Nate Jerry at any point this offseason, I would have said, that's awesome. This guy can play special teams. He might be able to play linebacker in a pinch. He's kind of got some David Mayo vibes to me. Like he is a decent depth linebacker. But if you're telling me he's the guy you've been promising me that I shouldn't worry about the linebacker room because you're going to be adding to it all along. You've said this time and time and time again. And now the addition is Nate Jerry, who's 27, who made one defensive start for the Philadelphia Eagles back in 2017, and then two more in 2018, and ended up playing a little bit in 2019, and hasn't been heard much of since the pandemic, and was on the practice squad for the 49ers last year. This can't be the big linebacker acquisition, right? This was Rivera today talking about the new linebacker, the 27-year-old Jerry.
You know, we're big and stout for the most part. You know, we wanted a guy that could run, can cover. You know, Nathan has a very good and extensive background in coverage. He can run well, and he's a solid special teams guy. So he gives us some added depth. He gave us a little something we didn't have, and that was another cover linebacker that we felt could really run and make a contribution that way.
So I guess that means that Cole Holcomb is going to be a hole-filling linebacker, plugging everything up between the tackles, and your thumper getting people on the ground. I think they feel like David Mayo can do that as a second option on running downs, whereas Jamin Davis to this point clearly Rivera thinks is better dropping and being a zoning pass defensive linebacker. And that's not surprising, right? We've had Logan Paulson, who breaks the film down for us, tell us that last year he thought Davis did a really good job at times in that regard, that he has a real feel and a knack for kind of filling zones and dropping into the right areas and being around the football in the passing game, which is ideal. So I give him credit for that. But it sounds like maybe Jerry does some of those things and they wanted another guy. So now you have your Holcomb layered with Mayo to be his backup, and then Davis with perhaps Jerry layered behind him to do some of what Jamin does. Again, by itself, this addition makes a lot of sense. It's cool. You pluck a guy off of a really good defenses practice squad from a year ago in San Francisco, who in four seasons with the Eagles started 22 games for them, played in 46 games, mostly on special teams, from 2017 to 2020, bring him back to the division, got some familiarity in the East with some of the opponents, with the Cowboys and the Giants, four of the games he'll play, about a quarter of the games this year. So I get this. But are you done? Or is this just an aside to the plan to go get your linebacker still? Because that would make me feel differently about the addition. Nathan Jerry added, that's cool. Which linebacker are you bringing in to possibly start 11 times this year? I mean, you have placed a lot of eggs in the Jamin Davis basket, just banking on him being a lot better than he was. And I think Holcomb's solid. So I don't have a big problem with him as a Mike. You know, ideally you'd like to have him be your fifth best player on defense or something. Certainly not your number one option in the linebacking room. But this is where we are, and that's fine. I just wonder if this is it. Because if so, all of the talk all offseason about adding to the position, man, you overpromised and underdelivered a little bit there. This is one area where I am really interested, though, because I'll say this. They're going to have a chance to take such a big victory lap on all of us. And I'm going to owe an apology. And they can really rub our faces in it if their defense is awesome and their linebacking core is not a problem. Because I have been confounded this entire offseason by their lack of inactivity and by I would say their plan, but I'm not sure that there has been one at linebacker. They clearly like Jamin Davis a lot more than I think most people, and they obviously think having David Mayo play a lot on the defense is not a problem. My point all along has been you have money and there are some dudes available who have done this over the last couple of years. Maybe sign one or two of them. They seem to have no interest. So someone's going to be right here. Either linebacker will be a problem and they'll have to answer for that, or they're going to see Jamin Davis flourish and Cole Holcomb's going to be excellent and they'll be able to say, you wasted our time with all those questions. You guys don't know what you're talking about. We do. Trust us. And it'll be a major win for them. But I'm excited to kind of see where the football falls on that. All right, let's spin the NFL wheel next. We get you a random team with a burning question on that club every single day. So we'll see who we're breaking down next. Plus, at the top of the hour, Less than 20 minutes from now at 6 o'clock, Kylie McDaniel of ESPN just re-ranked all of the farm systems in baseball, 1 through 30, and the Nats, for the first time in years, cracked the top 10. We're going to talk to him about the system now that the Nats have added a bunch of talent to it. We'll do that at 6 right here on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nats are in Chicago at Wrigley Field tonight. Aníbal Sanchez on the hill. That's fun. Used to be Scherzer Day. Now it's Aníbal Day, I guess. I don't know. Be cool if it was 2011 and Aníbal was thrown. Now it's 2022. That's the only issue.
Oh, Frank, no.
Thank you, Frank. Every single day we spin the NFL wheel and we break down a random team's burning question. So, Ryan, why don't we get it popping? Let's get that bus rolling.
All right. Darius, move that bus.
Hang on one second, Darius. Sorry, stop the wheel. Oh, thank you. I want to know about Ryan's inspiration on how he says move that bus. Is there an accent there? There's a pitch. You're like the pitch whistle. You're going up high.
Yeah.
What is your inspiration on Move That Bus?
Honestly, I haven't really gotten it down. And I'm a watcher of that show as well. I'm a viewer of the television show.
But From
15 years ago. I loved it.
Makeover Home Edition.
But I just can't get the voice down. So I'm kind of doing like a carnival-y voice. Someone being like, who wants a free prize? Like, kind of something
like that.
That's
what you're going for.
I mean,
did you know, Darius, that was his big inspiration this whole time?
I had no clue. I thought he was literally imitating whoever the person is that says that.
It sounds nothing like the guy. So that's why I've never known, really, what exactly you're aiming for there.
I don't know what I'm doing. I was just someone trying to do something for the show. Here. I'll
someone
do it.
Someone trying to do something for the show is a great bit.
A producer.
Yeah. Okay. No, I love it. I think it adds a lot. I just wanted to know, as an actor, what is your inspiration? Like, where are you finding, you're the Joker, right? Like, where are you going to get into that dark place? But you answered my question. You're a guy trying to give away a prize at a carnival.
Exactly. All right. That's kind of it.
So without further ado, I apologize. Get back into character, if you would.
All right. Darius, spin that bus.
Spin that
Darius,
bus.
God. See, I'm off counter now.
Did you mean to say spin that bus?
No, I did not. I'm in my head. All right, for real. Darius, spin that wheel. Oh. Darius, move that bus.
Man. Let's Let's go, Chargers.
Herbert stops, launches deep. Jalen Guyton, he's got it! Touchdown, Chargers! What a throw! He's had a career year. Herbert looked that way. Now, a biggie for a touchdown! Hits his man, Keenan Allen. Third and seven. Rush coming. And Burrow, a dead duck. Derwin James leading the charge.
You know, the Chargers are getting some CBS play. I got a little Adam Amin and then two Iron Eagle calls there from my guy, Darius, Fox and CBS. So the Chargers had a big offseason, and they're going for it at this point, and they should. They missed the 2021 playoffs basically because they couldn't stop the run. 30th in DVOA. They were 28th in adjusted line yards. I mean, they were so bad against the run. 25th on third and fourth and short. 26th in goal-to-go situations. Remember, they gave up 174 yards in that game to get into the playoffs against the Raiders on the ground. 172 passing, 174 rushing. They had a third and 23 defensively where the Raiders before halftime ran it with Josh Jacobs and got 23 yards. That was their season. Jacobs gained 17 yards on back-to-back overtime runs that set up the Raiders' game-winning field goal. That's what their whole year came down to. They got shredded by Rex freaking Burkhart head. Not Rex Burkhart. That's Kevin Burkhart, a broadcaster. But he could have run for 90. Rex Burkhead ran for 149 yards. And Football Outsiders did a great job breaking down all of the problems that they had. But he had runs in that game of 36, 25, 15, and 14 yards. It was a problem all year. So they have tried to address that defensively. You've got one of the great young quarterbacks in the league in Herbert, with Mike Williams, who they re-upped with, Keenan Allen, Joshua Palmer, and defensively, their defensive front, Joey Bosa, Morgan Fox, they brought in Khalil Mack to help get to the quarterback. So I'm curious to see in a moment what Darius's burning question is for the Chargers, which we're going to get to in just a few. But I will tell you that I'm over on their win total. I have them making the playoffs, and they are a sneaky Super Bowl contender for me this year. I'm hedging on saying Super Bowl for the Chargers altogether because I think it's too hot. It's like a Ben Affleck movie where they're trying to rob banks. You need to lay low for a little while. It's too hot right now. Everyone's talking about the Chargers. But they had the perfect offseason, I thought, and have three rookies that they drafted in the third, fifth, and sixth rounds penciled in to help them out on defense. Zion Johnson, their new starting right guard, should help protect Justin Herbert. All right, we're going to talk about the Nats system with ESPN's Kylie McDaniel next, and then more on the Chargers and back to football. G&D before we get out of here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.